Hello, and welcome to I Watch This As An Adult, where I review movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week, I review 1995's Showgirls. Alright everybody, Showgirls, 1995. I'm up here again with the wife. She had to sit through Showgirls with me.
Yeah.
You did. Yeah. You know, we gotta talk about how we saw the movie first time when we were kids. This is really a movie that we really shouldn't have saw as kids?
Right, but we did.
But we did, because the movie's NC-17. We weren't supposed to see this movie at all.
Right.
But we had latchkey parents. So, yes. 90s parents are the greatest, aren't they?
They are.
They let us watch anything we wanted to watch. But, how I saw this movie was, my dad rented some movies from Blockbuster. He rented Dangerous Minds. And he rented Showgirls. I think there was another movie he rented. I want to say he rented, like, The Net or something. Mm-hmm. That was a movie with, like, Sandra Bullock. Hmm. Another movie I want to talk about later on. But, yeah, I was like, he rented that movie. And then he rented Showgirls. And my dad let me watch Showgirls with him late at night. He shouldn't have let me watch that movie at all, but he let me watch it with him.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's how I saw Showgirls. How'd you see it?
The same way. I don't know if we had a cassette. I don't know if we rented it out. I don't know if we saw it on TV. I don't remember. I do know seeing it. And my parents, throughout the whole movie, was laughing at it.
Yeah.
They just thought it was ridiculous. They was like, oh my goodness. They didn't take the movie seriously, not at all.
We're gonna have that be a running theme for you. We're gonna have there be a running theme for you. Is that you don't remember how you see movies.
I don't remember how I see it. I just know I see it.
That's gonna be the running theme for you. Like, my wife does not remember how she saw movies.
I just know I saw it when I was young.
She doesn't know she saw them.
But she was young.
Yeah, but this movie, the movie, for one, the movie just starts. You just see the title. It says, Showgirls. And it just...
I didn't even tell you where it came from.
Yeah, they don't even give you any opening credits.
No, it's just Showgirls.
It's just Showgirls.
Right.
And then you see the character Nomi Malone, played by Elizabeth Berkley. Mm-hmm. And she's like hitchhiking and shit like that. Then she gets in the pickup truck with the guy and all this shit.
The guy's named Jeff.
Yeah.
For some reason, yeah. Yeah. Jeff.
Fuck Jeff. We like Jeff.
You know, any guy with a pickup truck named Jeff, I guess, you know.
Yeah, right. But yeah, she gets... Pretty much Jeff hustles her.
Right.
When they get to Vegas.
Everybody's
a
hustler.
She gets hustled for some reason because the dude, like, steals the suitcase.
Right.
And we go to the whole movie. Spoiler alert. We go the whole movie without even knowing what's in that goddamn suitcase.
Yeah, and we still don't know.
We still don't know what's in that damn suitcase.
Yeah.
We never find out what's in that suitcase because, like, she's just tripping about the suitcase. She's like, I want my suitcase. Where's my suitcase? And that's when she starts beating a random car.
Yes.
Yeah, and then we run into our next character, Molly.
Molly.
Oh, Molly.
Poor Molly.
Poor Molly. And, like, Molly goes and buys her food and says she could live with her. And before we go forward with any of that, this movie is very homoerotic. There's a lot of very homoerotic undertones, especially with Nomi and Molly.
Right. And you don't know if that's, or they're bisexual or whatever. No, well, they do specify that, you know, they're heterosexual. It's just their chemistry is very unusual for friends.
Yeah, because they're like, this one time, I think there's like one time, I think, like, there's a scene where, like, Nomi gets bailed out of jail.
Right.
And, like, Molly comes to pick her up and she kisses her in the mouth.
And then another part where when Molly saw Nomi beat up her car, she's like, hey, get out of my car. And she's just like going all crazy. She almost got hit by a car. And Molly saves
Naomi. She ran into the car. She wanted to get hit by that car.
And then she saves her. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it looks like they were going to lean in and kiss. But instead, they just, you know, hugged each other and put their foreheads together. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the first time them meeting each other.
Yeah, it's like, y'all don't know each other.
Usually, when back in the day in the 90s, when that happened between a man and woman, they wound up becoming, you know, lovers. You know what I'm saying? But instead, since they're girls, they just became really good friends.
Right. And then, like, Molly's asking her questions and shit. You know, she's like, where you from? What do you do? And all this stuff. And then, like, Nomi just starts spazzing the fuck out. Cause like she just throws the fries up, cause like, and she was just like, I'm from different places. And I was like,
quit asking me questions, you know.
And if I was Molly, I was like, no, I ain't gotta buy you no food, you know that, right?
Or let you stay at my place.
Yeah, cause after she spazzes out, She lets her stay in her fucking trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, Molly lives in a trailer out in the desert somewhere in Vegas.
Which desert? You know, Vegas is a desert.
Vegas is a desert, yeah. But, yeah, she lives out in the desert somewhere. And I was like, Molly's such a fucking saint.
She is. She's like an angel, man.
She puts up with all of Nomi's shit.
Everybody.
She puts up with everybody's shit. But
she's not a pushover, but you know.
Yeah,
she doesn't have to take their shit though.
Yeah, I know. I was like, Nomi is such an ungrateful piece of shit. She is so she's an ungrateful, selfish ass bitch.
She is.
Oh my god, I fucking hate Nomi. I fucking hate Nomi.
Right.
And it was just like, she's not grateful for anything that anybody does for her. Mm-mm. At all.
Right.
At all. And then, like, she's a stripper. She ends up stripping at this strip club called The Cheetah, which I think is a real strip club.
I don't know.
I think The Cheetah's a real strip club. Fact check me on that. I don't know. Maybe you could fact check me. Send me a voicemail if you want to. I got that option on the Anchor app. You can go and send me a voicemail and find out and tell me if the Cheetah is a real strip club. Go tell me that. But you got the owner. I think his name is like Al.
Who, whatever that guy is, he is a real piece of work.
Like, yeah,
everybody is really.
He's so fucking over the top.
Everybody's over the top of that movie.
Everybody's over the top, but he's like, it's like he watched like maybe like one movie. The actor, he's a very popular. He was a very popular character actor in like the 80s and 90s.
Right.
And I think his name is like Robert Davey or something like mm-hmm. that. I looked it up. I looked up everybody's names and shit. But before we did this podcast, I think his name is Robert Davey or something. But it looks like he looked at like one movie about what a strip club owner is supposed to be. And he was like, I'm going to be that 10 times. Like, I'm going to be that with the volume like turned all the way up. You know? Because he's just, and like he's talking to one of the girls. And he's talking about you gotta let one of the guys come on you. If they pay you, it's okay. And he said, like, you gotta give me a blowjob if you wanna stay here.
After a week.
After a week, yeah. I was like, this dude is a piece of work.
Oh my goodness.
Fucking piece of work. Over the top as a motherfucker. Anyway, like, Molly works at the Stardust. I believe it's a casino. Okay. And she's the costume designer.
Yes, my bad. The costume designer.
She's the costume designer, and she's doing costumes. She does the costumes for, like, the star, Crystal Connors, which is...
She does everybody's costumes. She's pretty much the designer of the whole cosplay.
Yeah.
You
know. But, she does everybody's costumes, but I want to talk about Gina Gershon as Crystal Connors, who's, like, the star.
Yeah.
Of the Stardust play, not the play, but the dance show, the review or whatever the fuck they call it. But I'm not a Vegas connoisseur, but she's my favorite character in this whole goddamn movie.
She is.
Crystal Connors, Gina Gershon, because the way Gina Gershon plays Crystal Connors, she's just having a ball with this character. I feel like she's in a different movie than everybody else. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's the only character that's in a different movie than everybody else. I feel like she was like, huh. I feel like she knew that this movie was going to be a piece of shit.
Right.
And she was just like, I'm just going to have fun with it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to have fun with this character. I'm just going to go over the top with this goddamn character. I'm just going to have just fucking fun with it. And I think she's the shining light in this whole goddamn movie.
Right.
I really do. I think, because, like, she just plays it. She just plays the whole character for camp.
It is campy.
It's a very campy movie. And she just plays the whole... She just plays right into that camp. And I was like, I love her for it. Mm-hmm. That's what made... I was like, that made her my favorite character in this goddamn movie. But yeah, another character I want to talk about is James the Black Guy, who's played by another popular character actor from, like, the 90s, Glenn Plummer.
Yeah.
Because Glenn Plummer, I've seen this guy in a lot of things in, like, the 90s. He was always, like, the black guy and everything in the 90s. If you needed a black guy and something in the 90s, Glenn Plummer.
Right.
But...
The first time I saw him, he was in South Central.
Yeah, I was in South Central too. Yeah, that was the first time I saw him too. But, like, he was in, like, a whole bunch of other stuff. He's, like, just, like, a background. He's always been, like, a background character.
Like Speed.
Yeah, he was in Speed. Yeah, he was in that. And he's just kind of just stalking Nomi.
Right.
And, like, he's trying to be her, like, Mr. Miyagi of dancing. And he's like, you're too talented. What you were doing at that strip club, you should be doing that somewhere else. You should be a professional dancer and all this shit. And he's just following her, and he just keeps losing jobs. Because she got him fired because he met her at the club. Mm-hmm. And he got him fired from the club. I'm like, she got him fired from the club.
Yeah.
And then he meets her when she's coming out of the Stardust. And he's like the bellboy. He's the bellboy, and he's moving the bags, and he gets fired from that because he's talking to Nomi, and he just, like, spazzes out on his boss, and he gets fired, and he said, look at girl, you got me fired again, girl. And then, like, he goes to see her at the goddamn trailer.
Yes.
And
unannounced, he just showed up.
He just fucking shows up.
Showed up at the door.
And he's talking about
you. Which is very scary and dangerous because, you know, those trailer doors are very thin.
He's my favorite line. Everybody's got AIDS and shit.
Right.
And then, but then he has another favorite line. I think it's your favorite line, too.
What was that?
When, like, he, after he tells her, Everybody got AIDS and shit.
Oh, he said, I'm trying to tell you the truth, bitch.
He said, bitch, I'm telling the truth. And we cracked up.
I don't think that actor took that movie seriously, too. I don't think he took it. I think him and the actress who played, or actor who plays Crystal, or Chris, you know. Yeah. They just really had it their way.
Yeah, man. Like, yeah, James is kind of a standout character, too.
He is.
He's a standout character. In any movie, in any other movie, he would have been the love interest.
Really?
I think.
Yeah.
Because you kind of go into the movie, he's kind of like trying to be Nomi's kind of, like I said, Mr. Miyagi, but he's kind of trying to get a relationship with her.
Right.
And you would think that those two would, like, that would be the love story.
Did he ever sleep with her?
No, he didn't.
He didn't?
No, he didn't. They just did the little dance routine and he fell up on the titties and shit.
And that's about it.
And that was it.
And we were looking at that and it was all like him then, Save the Last Dance was born.
Yeah. Save the Last Dance was born. Oh my goodness. But yeah, and speaking of James ends up like fucking one of her coworkers.
Yeah.
At the Cheetah.
Yes.
Ends up fucking one of her coworkers at the Cheetah because she goes to tell him that she got whatchamacallit, the Stardust.
She got I'm trying to figure out. Okay, going back. Somehow she came to Molly's job.
Right.
Alright. And she just came to Molly's job as her assistant or whatever. She was supposed to be her assistant, but she just came to Molly's job, right?
Right.
Like babysitting, like she take her little baby sister and shit to work. But she's a grown ass woman and she's like 4 inches taller than her, you know. So
Molly doing fucking take your daughter to work
take
day.
Take your daughter to work day,
with
you
a
know.
Grown ass woman.
And almost got her fired on that same day too. Yeah. Because she invited Molly to meet Crystal.
Yeah.
Okay, and Crystal, Molly introduced Nomi to Chris, and she said, oh, I'm a dancer. She told Chris that she was a dancer.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, well, where you work at, where you from? And she said, I'm from Cheetah. And she said, honey, if you call that dancing, I don't know what they call it. And she was all like, you don't know me. She just like spazzed out and ran out the dressing room. And Molly's all like, bitch, this is my job. I need a paycheck here. And she had to like console with her and tell her, you know, I'm sorry that my friend Naomi behaved just the way she did, whatever. And somehow Chris, I guess her having this, I guess she's the type of person that when she knows how to get under your skin, she continues to constantly push your buttons. So she went out of her way. She
sounds like
her,
a certain somebody I know. Never mind.
So she constantly took her, I guess, I don't know who this guy is. I never understood the character, her boyfriend, Crystal.
Oh, he's the program director. His name is Zach.
Okay, so she was messing with Zach.
Yeah.
And she took she took Zach to Cheetah's to mess with Naomi.
Zach has the most emoist of emo hair I've ever seen.
Right.
By the way, and he's always flipping it. He's always getting it out of his eye. You know, he's like, oh my God, I run the Stardust. He's just like, I can make you a star. He's that guy.
So she followed this girl all the way to her job. And she paid her $500 for a private dance.
Right.
Okay, so she takes Zach into the private room while Chris Roach watches.
Yeah.
And she did this ridiculous, bizarre, I don't know what the hell was that, but it was supposed to be a lap dance. Now, some people might think it was a turn on. But I have no idea what the hell was that. But somehow it got the job done and he came in his pants.
Yeah, he really did.
Chris paid her $500 and she had to give $200 to the boss.
Yeah, to Al, yeah.
And that was like her audition to Stardust.
Yeah, that's how she got the, she got that audition.
Yeah, that was like her audition to Stardust.
Yeah, but yeah, it was like she, yeah, she got the, she became a whole showgirl. Mm-hmm. And they had the little audition and shit like that.
Which, right.
We ain't gotta fucking talk about that shit. But right. She becomes a showgirl. She hits it big.
Right.
And then she starts, that's when she starts fucking with Zach.
Right.
She starts fucking with Zach. And that fucking sex scene. Oh my God.
Once again, doing the weirdest grind in the world. She was flopping around like a dolphin. It's
fucking dolphin sex over here.
I was like, flopping around like a dolphin. Somehow it still did the work. And he came.
He came again.
Now, we don't know if she was taking birth control. They never show that.
Yeah.
You know, but he came.
You were
he
also
shut her club up.
You were also talking
about,
they're
gonna have mermaids now.
You were talking about, because like, everybody's fucking butt-ass naked in this movie.
Yeah.
But you were talking about Zach's ass.
Yeah, it was jiggling as he was walking.
You said that Zach had a badunkadunk pretty much.
Yeah, and the way he was walking, it was like jiggly.
That motherfucker had the whatchamacallit ass. I can't remember who.
I'm trying to think
of an ass. I can't really think of an ass right now.
I know.
Yeah, but
because everybody else's ass was firm.
Yeah.
And he had like a big butt when he was walking. It was just like shaking.
That nigga had like Instagram thigh ass.
Yeah.
That shit was funny. I didn't even think about that nigga ass because I'm a straight man. But you know, like what you were talking about, you was like, man, he has a fat ass. You see,
and he was like jiggling when he was walking.
I was like, oh shit. Oh man, we talking about this man ass. But anyway, yeah. But Naomi and Crystal, you know, they get into it and shit, cause like Crystal, kind of pretty much fucking cons Naomi, tries to get in with her, tries to become like her friend and shit, and then she gets her on the stage, and she like, it was like, what's she like? She pulls her titties out.
Well, it was a scene where she became her understudy. That's what they call it, like a person who's going to take their place real soon,
right?
Whatever, and so they had to do a scene together, and that's where they came for the rehearsal.
Right. But, like, Crystal pulls, like, Naomi's Naomi's tits out.
I guess to prove a point, because Naomi was saying that she's not a whore.
Yeah.
And Crystal said, we're all whores. We get the check, we cash it, and we, you know, give them what they want. Well,
yeah,
whatever.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they had their little moment. There were similarities about them because Chris was claiming that Naomi was just like her, which is true.
And they both ate doggy chow.
Right. They both doggy chow. They both had similar clothing. They both behave a certain way, whatever. It's just Chris became more vain than her. That's about it. She hadn't became vain yet, I guess.
You're right.
And then she practiced with her, took off her clothes, tried to have sex with her because she's a bisexual.
Yeah.
I mean, she made that clear. Like,
this movie's very, homoerotic.
And she, just before she was getting ready to have sex with her on stage, she told her, see, I told you you're a whore. And she said, bash, and just ran out the stage. And I was like, oh, God.
She was like, see, darling, you are a whore. I was like, wow. But yeah, but they get into it. Naomi pushes Crystal off the stairs, like when there does like a little stair case where they go up to the stage, mm-hmm. and like when they're coming back down, Naomi just fucking pushes that bitch.
Well, there's a reason, because after she had sex with Zach when she was, you know, fish flopping. Yeah. You know, like she was a fish in a rushing river.
Turning a fucking flipper up in this motherfucker.
You know, when she did her little, her fish fucking. When she was done with Zach, Zach said, "Oh, this pussy's fantastic. I'm replacing you. Get your bisexual ass off the stage." And he said, "I'm replacing you." And Chris was like, "What?" So she said, she asked her, "Niobe, did you F him for the spot or did you wanted to?" And she was all like, "Well, I did it for both." And she was all like, "You don't want to piss me off." She's all like, "Well, you don't want to get pissed off because that make you look old." And she was all like, "Okay, I see."
Right.
And then she came to talk to Zach like, "What is this? You effed her." He's like, "Oh, you're mad because I got to her before you did?"
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? I was like, if that's the case, you should just did her on that stage. Like, I got it first. I turned it out. She's my bitch, not yours.
She should have Ray J'd that bitch.
She should have went ahead and did it. I hit it
first.
You know what I mean? But that didn't happen because she wouldn't prove her point.
Right.
Then, Chris got a lawyer. She's like, "Well, if I'm losing my spot, I'm shutting this shit down."
God damn, I don't even remember her getting a lawyer. Fuck.
She got a lawyer. She's like, "I'm shutting this shit down, and I'm going to get a settlement." And he was all, and then Niobe came to Zach.
Was that after?
No, I'm telling you why she pushed her.
Okay.
Yeah, and she says like, Niobe talked to Zach, and she said, "What the fuck is this shit? You're supposed to replace me." He said, "I can't replace you because she has a lawyer, and if I do that, you're not worth it," you know, stuff like that. She was all like, so they had, you know, mm-hmm. they had their fight, whatever.
Right.
And they moved on. So they were dancing, and while they were dancing on stage, Chris and Niobe, well, pretty much Chris, like, humiliated her on stage. Like, "Oh, yeah. Oh, you're trying to take my spot. You're never going to take my spot. I got my lawyer. And you're pitiful." She tripped her, made her fall in front of everybody and stuff like that. Embarrassed her.
Right.
And stuff. And then, next thing you know, the show was over, and she pushed her downstairs. And the girl with the braids.
Yeah, there's another show girl up in here. She has she has white girl dreads.
Right.
And she gets into it because, like, there's a black show girl. She gets into it with the black show girl, and the black show girl, because, like, the black show girl tells the girl with the white girl braids to shut the fuck up. Like, to tell her kids to shut the fuck up, because she brought her kids
to the show.
Right. And that was the final straw with them, and she fucking sabotaged that bitch.
Yeah, she threw pearls on the dancing on the stage.
On the stage.
And the black girl's partner, who was holding her up in the air or whatever,
he dropped her.
Slipped and fell, dropped her, and ended her career like
that.
Oh, man, she planned that out really well. And Niobe saw it and didn't snitch on her.
Didn't say anything,
So when it had happened to Niobe, when she wanted to push Chris downstairs, the girl with the braids saw her and didn't snitch on her neither for, you know, having her back.
Right. So
and then Niobe wound up becoming the star.
The star,
That's how she became Nomi
hits it big. They go to this party. Molly's really into this guy. I don't know what the fuck he is. Like, I don't know what kind of music he sings.
He's like jazz. He's like, he was supposed to be, like, you know, back in the day, the guy with the really long hair.
Like some Michael Bolton motherfucker.
And he plays, like, the saxophone or something like that.
Kenny G?
I guess he was supposed to be, like, the Kenny G of Las Vegas or something.
I was thinking Michael Bolton.
Okay, one of the two.
I was thinking Michael Bolton, because he looked like a mix between Michael Bolton and the lead singer in Nickelback. But, you know, but Molly's crazy about the dude. And then, like, they go to the party. Molly finds out dude gonna be there. Mm-hmm. And she was like, "Oh, shit, he's here." And then she goes and They're pretty much hitting it off. They got alcohol and shit. They're drinking champagne.
And everything was going well. I thought she was going to score.
Yeah, and like she even starts making out with this motherfucker.
They look so good together, right?
Yeah,
and then, like, oh my gosh, she. It was like finally for Molly. All the shit that she'd taken from everybody, from Chris, the show,
Nomi,
everybody. This is her time to shine. She's going to be a wife of her. You know,
her favorite singer
or whatever.
Yeah, and
we thought we were gonna see a happy ending for her.
Wrong.
It was wrong. A big turd.
Cause Michael Bolton Nickelback takes Molly up to the room and
pretty much brought every dude of every nationality in that room.
They had a United Nations of rape up in there.
In that room. It was a black dude. I don't know, that guy was Asian or something. Whatever the fuck, and then he's white. It was crazy.
And they shut that door and they go to town on Molly. They beat the fuck out of her and start raping her ass. And then
They took turns
and shit. I was like, wow. But we did say, because like she came out of the room, because like she's all beat up. She come out the room and she passes out, and like she got blood like coming running down her leg.
Right.
And they say everything. They was like, yo, she's got a broken nose. She's got vaginal tears.
Right.
And
we were like, vaginal tears? We were all like, now the rape that, you know, that normally happens when there's like more than one guy in a room, there's every hole to fill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was no anal rape. There was no forcing himself down her, you know, her mouth or anything like that. It was just all in one area.
It was a very gentleman's rape.
Like, these guys had standards, you know what I mean? Because like, a rape is a rape, and they rape anything.
It was a very classy rape.
It was compared to, like, if you look at all the news and stuff like that, it's like,
right. But while that's going on, Nomi's past catches up with her, because Zach finds out some information about Nomi.
Right.
Finds out that, like, she was a hooker. And he finds out that, like, her parents are dead and all this shit.
Now, I'm trying to figure out what was that about. Was it like he's trying to blackmail her? That part I didn't get.
I believe he was
why was he trying to blackmail her?
I believe he was trying to blackmail her. I think he was trying to, like, keep her, like, trying to keep her mouth shut or some shit like
about
that.
About what?
I think he was trying to keep her mouth shut about the rape.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because him and Michael Bolton Nickelback were like boys.
Oh, boys.
Yeah. Right. And he wanted to keep her mouth shut about the rape, so he put out all this shit about her being a hooker and she and like her dad killed her mom and all this shit, and she been going through all this foster home shit and all this shit. So like, her past catches up with her. She goes and beats up Michael Bolton Nickelback. And she kicks the shit out of him. We thought that she killed him, cause all those kicks. And I think she was wearing like high heels?
It was 6-inch.
Yeah, she was wearing like high heels. We thought she killed that motherfucker. And all of a sudden, you see her hitchhiking again.
It ended. So she went back to Molly and she tells Molly that I love you. Or she Molly woke up. What Molly woke
yeah,
up?
Yeah, Molly woke up. Yeah.
Right. It was so sad.
Yeah.
Molly woke up and she told her that she kicked the shit out of this dude for her.
Yeah.
And that she loved her. And then she hitchhiked out of Las Vegas.
First, before she did that, she went to go see Crystal.
Right.
She went to go see Crystal. Mm-hmm. And they have a whole, like, lesbian kiss. Like, tongues all up in the throat and shit.
Right.
And then, like, she leaves and skips town with the same dude.
Right.
Looking for that fucking suitcase. And that was pretty much the whole movie. That was pretty much Showgirls. I love this movie. I love it. I love the campiness. I love how batshit crazy it is. It's supposed to be a drama. I don't know if it's supposed to be a drama. I don't know if it's supposed to be satire, but like, I was laughing throughout the whole film. I was laughing throughout the whole goddamn film.
Right.
And I felt, looking at this movie, like, I felt sorry for Elizabeth Berkley.
Why?
Because it's like she never recovered from this film. You know, because like
it's a thing of
she's a former child actress. Everybody knows she comes from Saved by the Bell, which is a kid show.
Right.
And so she's a former child actress, and like, you know how child actresses are.
Right.
Like, they're trying to grow up. They're trying to, we see it now, you know, Miley Cyrus, Selena Gomez, all that shit.
Right.
What's that girl from fucking Spider-Man? Zendaya. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to grow up because Zendaya has a show called on HBO called Euphoria, where like she's doing all types of wild shit on that show. And like, she's trying to grow up to them. I'm not a little girl anymore. Right. You know? And this is what Elizabeth Berkley was doing with this movie. She's trying to show everybody, I'm not a little girl anymore. I'll show y'all how much of a little girl I'm not. I'm going to show y'all my titties.
And it sabotaged her career before she even started.
You know? And right. I feel sorry for her for that. Because, like, a lot of people, I think a lot of people shamed her for her sexuality.
Right.
I think so. A lot of people shamed her because, like, they was like, oh, what is Jessie doing? Showing her boobies.
Right. People didn't find her attractive in the first place. I mean, she is a very beautiful girl.
She's a beautiful woman.
But
people didn't
find her attractive, you know, compared to the other co-stars that was in Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
She was considered the least attractive. Like, even the black girl was considered prettier than her. She just didn't have it, you know.
Yeah, but it was just, I felt sorry for her because I felt like people were trying to shame her sexuality.
Yeah, because they find her attractive in the first place. It was the hair, they didn't like the curly hair. She was hella tall.
Yeah, she is really tall.
And it could be because she's Jewish, you know, whatever. So it's like.
Yeah, but it's just. I was like, I just felt sorry for her for that. I was like, because they were really shaming her for sexuality. And she's never recovered even to this day. This movie came out like, what, like 25 years ago?
Right.
Now, this movie came out like 25 years ago, and she still hasn't, her career, like, never recovered. I don't even know, like, what she's doing now. You know?
I mean, she has a great body.
Yeah.
You know? The makeup that they had, like, I couldn't stop looking at her lipstick, because her lipstick, yeah. Like, it was popping. Like,
right.
I love the color, her makeup. Uh-huh. She cut her hair a little bit, dyed it, whatever. Yeah, kind of, like, you can tell her relaxed it, because she has, like, really tighter, curly hair.
Yeah, she
you
has
know?
Really kinky hair.
They're really kinky hair and stuff. I just really thought she was very beautiful in that movie, especially when she became, like, the star of Stardust. Like, she really looked prettier and performed better. Like, she really fit the role more than Chris, like, you know,
right.
The character, the actress Chris, whatever.
Yeah.
I just believe she was very beautiful, but that's not what people thought or even couldn't fathom or couldn't, you know.
Right. Damn shame, though.
It is.
Damn shame she never really recovered from that.
Yeah.
You know, but scores. Let's give our scores.
One for me.
It's a one for you?
It's a one.
It's a one. Okay.
It's a one.
That's your opinion. I give it a four.
Four?
Because fucking love this movie. And not for good reasons. You know, I just love...
It's a guilty pleasure.
It's a very guilty pleasure for me. Very, very guilty pleasure for me. It's got rewatchability for me. Like... gangbusters, you know, right. Like it's rewatchability through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm gonna give it a four because it is kind of cheesy,
right.
You know. I'm not gonna give it a straight up five, I'll just give it a four. Well, that was our review of Showgirls. That's what we thought of Showgirls. Join us next week, we will be talking about another movie. You got anything else to say? That's it?
Nope. No, that's all.
All right, everybody. Peace.